Lord God, it's good to be with you, to be with your people. Lord, I pray that today as we meet, that you would lift our hearts, that we would see you and hear you clearly, and that, Lord, we would be moved, that we would understand what your purpose is for us, and that we would be a part of what you're doing in the world. Lord, the world is so much bigger than we are, and your purpose is so much grander than what we consider so many times. Lord, help us to see the way you see. Lord, we love you, and Lord, we just give you this time, and we give you our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and greet one another. I want to get started with a clip this morning. John, can you cue that up and play it for me?
Wherever the target is danger, into the fray leaps the mighty man of steel, racing with supersonic speed to exploding excitement, folding fearlessly into violence and villainy. No human onslaught can stay him. Super Invincible, zooming out of the skies and crashing through into the very teeth of hair-raising peril. A towering hero booming with super action. Sworn enemy of all evils, smashing through. His only shield, his super body. At every turn, slamming into breathtaking hazards, the superhero of them all. Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a speeding locomotive. Leaping buildings in a single bound. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman. Fighting for truth and justice. See the adventures of Superman.
There are some people that tell you that's who you're supposed to be. Really? Don't you call yourselves a Christian? You're supposed to be 10 foot tall and bulletproof. There's not supposed to be a chink in your armor. You're supposed to have it all together. You're supposed to have all the answers. What does the Bible say about that? I want to look at a passage this morning. You'll find that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 5 through 10. I've kind of given the title to this message today as More Than Meets the Eye. You'll see why there's pictures of clay jars with water coming out of it in just a minute as we get to this passage. Here's what Paul wrote. He said, "We do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." And pay attention to this statement. "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show us that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed." Sound familiar? Didn't we sing that this morning? "We always, always, always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body." There is a problem with living and communicating and acting like you're 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Number one, it doesn't work. You don't get that far before you find out and everybody else around you finds out that you were wrong. You're not. I want to look at four teaching points that I see in this passage this morning. I don't want to kind of just park on each one of them for a little while and see what this passage says to us about this guilt that we have that relates to the fact that we know we're not 10 foot tall and bulletproof, and how We struggle because we want to be 10 foot tall and bulletproof, and we want everybody else to think that we've got it all together, and that we don't make mistakes, and that we're not frail, and we don't have problems. What does the Bible say about all this? And here we've got this teaching of Paul right in front of us. First point I want to talk about this morning is this. You're not supposed to be superhuman. Being human is a good thing. If you looked in Genesis, back in the beginning, back in the front of your Bible, look there what it says about how God created, especially whenever He created man and woman. It's not a bad thing at all. If you look in chapter 2, you see all the account of Adam and Eve being created. It says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but don't eat from that tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you'll surely die. But then the Lord God said, it's not good for a man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him. The God formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field, and none of those seemed to fit Rick Smith paraphrase version. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib that he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? See, when God created you and me human, it's not a bad thing to be human. Now, granted, we can't stop the story there, and granted, they did make poor choices, and yes, ended up being cast out of the garden because of the choice they made to disobey God. But the fact of the matter is, you and I were made to be human. We're not other kind of critters. Because if other kind of critters could have had the relationship with God that He wanted to have, He would have made them have that relationship. But it's human beings that He made uniquely to have this relationship with Him. That is not a bad thing. Now the problem is, too many times whenever we go out into the world wants to stereotype us as goody-goodies, as people who have it all together, who never make mistakes and aren't broken like everybody else. Folks, that may be their expectation. Please don't fill their expectation, because that's not who you are. Adam and Eve saw that beginning, didn't they? We are broke. Now, because we are in Jesus Christ, we have been made whole, but we still have this brokenness about us that we still make mistakes, don't we? We still have problems. I mean, how many of you didn't have a problem this week sometime? I want to know you. I want to listen to you, because you got something we could probably market. You know, the reality is we all have problems. We have problems all the time. We make mistakes all the time. There's not one of us that if we were in a room full of people with swine flu wouldn't get swine flu. You see where I'm going with this? We're not Superman. Don't let other people cast guilt on you because you're not Superman or Superwoman. We are who we are, and that's not a bad thing. There's a reason that we are the way we are. There's a reason why we're human, why we're flesh and blood. Secondly, the problem is that pride gets in the way. See, the start of that passage that Paul had, just listen for a second. This is how he started it out. You may remember what he said, but I'm going to read it anyway. He said, we do not preach ourselves, but Christ is Lord. You see, when you and I start to think that we are indestructible, that we've got all the answers, that we know it all, or that we have more than other people have, we tend to move right into one of Satan's favorite traps, and that is pride. And pride, as you know, the Proverbs say, goes before what? The fall. And he's not talking about a season. Okay? He's talking about destruction. So, pride in you and me gets in the way all the time. Because, see, we want to live up to the expectation that the world, or that stereotype the world wants to put on us. The world says Christians are supposed to have all the answers. Followers of Jesus are supposed to be indestructible. Well, we know that's not true. God knows it's not true. In fact, they know it's not true. But we then have this weird guilt. Are you tracking me on this? We have this strange guilt that we're not living up to this expectation that's not real, not true. It's really just there to set us up and shoot us down. And our pride then gets in the way because we think, we begin to believe that we really can be 10 foot tall and bulletproof. That we really can be infallible. That we really do have it all together. That we really don't need help. We can do it on our own. But then we have this passage where Paul is saying, it's not you and it's not me. We're just jars of clay. It's what's inside of us. There's more than meets the eye. And that there is great joy in being a jar and not having to have all the answers. Not letting our pride get in the way. Just being who we are. Number three. There's something that we have to struggle with a lot of times, and that's this very fact that Paul had to struggle with. And that is that it's actually your weakness that reveals God's power. It's when you are hurt, when you are sick, when you don't have an answer to a deep, important question or situation that you're in. It is those times when God's power is the most clear to other people in you. It's not when you got the answers. It's not when you have all the resources you need. It's not when you're always healthy, and it's not whenever you've got four BMWs in your garage. We can praise God when everything's going good, right? But when everything's not going good is when the world sees you and I really have faith. Your weakness reveals God's power. In this same letter, Paul said something about having a thorn in his flesh. Something that bothered him, that bugged him. We really don't know what that is. But he talked about it and he said that even though he was going to have to live with it, that his weakness was going to be the thing that God was going to perfect his power through. And that is something that we in our culture miss all together. Because Christians, we think, are supposed to be the people who are successful. And folks, the people, you are not going to find a poor preacher on TV. Why? Because we have wrong values. Do we see people, do we have people on TV representing Jesus or in the movies representing Jesus who are humble servants who have given their lives for other people? Who have lived in obscurity? No, we have fancy people who wear slick suits and preach in huge auditoriums. And we treat them like they're something special. Something's wrong with us. Because the world doesn't see the power of God unless we realize we are jars of clay. Number four. God uses stress, pressure, and trouble in your life to show His faithfulness, His love, and His peace. You see, and I see these situations way too many times as curses, and what God sees is opportunities. And for you and me, what we need to do is to try to let God change our view, change our culture. Because if we're not fighting that culture, we are swimming along with it. So here we are. We are a people full of opportunity. Who doesn't have an opportunity today? Basically, I'm saying, you've got something that you're struggling with. You are here this morning, and this word is for you. Because you don't have any idea how this situation is going to turn out. You don't think you have any answer. You don't have anything that you can do to manipulate or make your situation change. That is not a curse. That is God's opportunity in your life. And I invite you this morning to see it that way. We're going to do something really different. In just a second, I'm going to show you another video. This is of another preacher, and I have to tell you that the words and the illustrations in the video are kind of raw. Okay? It's a preacher. If I used his name, you would probably have heard his name, although you may or may not have heard him before. I want you to let this challenge you. Try to get through the illustration. There's an illustration that I think is very, very provoking. Okay? He doesn't use any bad words. It's just very, very provoking. Don't get mixed up in dealing with that illustration. Listen to what he's saying. Let God speak to you about what he's saying. And listen and let God do something in you today and speak to you today. When that video is through, I'm going to leave it quiet for a minute or two. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to invite you to a time of prayer. And I'm going to invite you, if you want to come forward, you can. If you want to stay where you are, that's fine. It doesn't really matter. But a time of prayer. Because there's more to meet, more than meets the eye in your life. And you don't have to be living under the illusion that you have to be perfect or that you have to be smart or any of that the world tries to cast on you. John, let's cue that video.
I don't know what you feel about the prosperity gospel, the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, but I'll tell you what I feel about it. Hatred. It is not the gospel. And it's being exported from this country to Africa and Asia, selling a bill of goods to the poorest of the poor. Believe this message, your pigs won't die, your wife won't have miscarriages. You have rings on your fingers and coats on your back. That's coming out of America. The people that ought to be giving our money and our time and our lives instead of selling them a bunch of crap called gospel. And here's the reason it is so horrible. When was the last time that any American, African, Asian ever said, Jesus is all satisfying because you drove a BMW? Never. They'll say, Jesus give you that? Yeah. Well, I'll take Jesus. That's idolatry. That's not the gospel. That's elevating gifts above giver. I'll tell you what makes Jesus look beautiful is when you smash your car and your little girl goes flying through the windshield and lands like dead on the street. And you say, through the deepest possible pain, God is enough. God is enough. He is good. He will take care of us. He will satisfy us. He will get us through this. He is our treasure.
Whom have I in heaven but you, and on earth there's nothing that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart and my little girl may fail, but you are the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That makes God look glorious.
As God, not as giver of cars or safety or health. Oh, how I pray that America would be purged of the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, and that the Christian church would be marked by suffering for Christ. God is most glorified in you when you are most satisfied in Him in the midst of loss, not prosperity.
Now, God's not causing or calling you to throw everything away. I don't think that's what we're talking about this morning. Whether you have to be miserable to make God happy, that's not what He's talking about. But the spirit of what He's talking about is realizing that part of faith in Christ is that when we are the weakest and the most human, is the opportunity when God can be God. And that we're not letting God be God because we're not trying to be who we really are. Let's pray. Lord, I confess that I live in a place and amongst a nation and a people who have equated blessing with wealth and with convenience and ease. Lord, I confess that many times I have bought into that. Why? Lord, I ask that You would come and meet with us. That, Lord, You would come and change our hearts. That, Lord, we would invite You into our misery and into our questions. That, Lord, we would see the stuff, the divine stuff that happens when we rightfully come to You and let You be God. Lord, speak to us and move us. Let us worship You in quiet, in sincerity, with humble hearts. If you life group leaders would be available around the outsides of the worship area here, just know that you are welcome to pray with any of us or any of those who are standing. And if you need to come forward with someone else, or if you would just come by yourself, you need to come forward and pray, that you are welcome to do that. Thank you.
What a friend you are. What a friend we have. What a friend we have, Jesus. What a friend you are. What a friend we have. What a friend we have, Jesus. What a joy to live. What a joy to give all our lives to you, my Jesus. What a joy to live. What a joy to give all our lives to you, my Jesus.
There are people still praying. There's a basket at the back. You can drop your cards, any giving that you have there, or there's baskets up here. Feel free to bring them anywhere. Please use those cards for prayer requests if you have those. Make sure we have that. We want to make sure we pray with you during this week.
What a friend you are. What a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a joy to live. What a joy to give all our lives to you. What a joy to live. What a joy to give all our lives to you.
One of our practices is as we send folks out, we pray over them. A couple of weeks ago, you got a chance to hear Martha Dees and what God's doing in her life. And we need to pray her out this morning because God is sending her to the cesspool we know as Auburn, Alabama. And she's going to be working with college students there in Auburn. And we need to send her out right. So if you, Martha, if you'd come up, if you'd like to come and lay hands on her and pray over her, if you would just kind of come on up and let's get her, gather around her. Come on up. All right, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for Martha. We thank you for the time that you've allowed us to enjoy her. And Lord, we thank you for the encouragement that she's brought. We thank you for the ministry that she's had while she's been here in Savannah. Lord, with students from all over the world, Lord, she's had an open heart, an open door, and she's built relationships, Lord, and I pray that you would multiply that. That, Lord, just because she won't be here, that, Lord, you will allow the ministry she started here to just simply expand. And that, Lord, as she moves to Auburn to begin to do the same kinds of things there, that, Lord, not only would you provide for her, but that, Lord God, you might allow her to grow in you, and that, Lord, you would continue to use her as people from all over the world get a chance to be discipled because of her ministry. Lord, let it grow fruit. Let it take people back to where they came from all over the world, and make many, many people to be grown up in your kingdom and for your purpose. Lord God, we thank you and we bless you, and we send Martha out. With our blessing and our love, she is a part of our family now. In Jesus' name, amen.